ding, ding.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me tonight, I've got Mo Dekeel. Mo, what's up?
What's up, Andrew? It's been a long time. I don't know how to act. It's normally with Jared or Dave. I don't know what to do when it's you.
I know.
It's been a little while.
We don't have to talk OKC, so it's all going to be cordial tonight. It'll all be good here.
No, it's never going to be cordial when I'm on a podcast, Andrew.
And we have to talk trades, too. I'm sure we'll disagree on some of this stuff. But before we do that, let's talk about this Suns-Sixers game. The Phoenix Suns win 114-109 in a game where it was like the Suns just out-execute people night after night after night. They just lull you to sleep with their execution down the stretch, and they just win games.
You have to be up like 15 in the last 3 minutes against the Suns to beat them, you know, and nobody fact-checked me or anything like that. But you're exactly right. It comes down to execution, and you're always going to bet on those guys down the stretch in games. You know, Chris Paul's amazing, and he wasn't even very good down the stretch in this game.
Right.
Andrew, he had a missed free throw, and what happens? The Jay Crowder comes up with a steal off of Tobias Harris when he gets the rebound, kicks it out to Chris Paul. Chris Paul knocks down a three. It's a four-point game. And then down the stretch of this game, Joel Embiid makes a great defensive play, strips Chris Paul after he switches onto him in the pick and roll. They're down three. It's a perfect situation for the Sixers, and he leads Seth Curry just a little bit too much. I mean, literally by a finger length?
He must have thought it was Matisse Thybulle with the arm length
with
to go
the go-go gadget arms. And that turns, and the ball just goes right out of bounds. And now the Sixers have to foul. And it's just like, I don't know. Chris Paul was trying to give you a gift, and they were like, nah, we don't need it tonight.
It was so painful to watch because the possession before, I didn't love whatever they were doing on offense. Like, they were trying to get the ball to Embiid. They just got it to him way too late. And then all he really could do was take this like step back three that just clanged off the backboard. Just kind of two really rough little patches there for Embiid.
And let's give credit. Ayton did a great job first denying Embiid on that. And I actually tweeted out the clip. And I think the Sixers got to get better at, like, cool, they denied. Immediately go to something else and set a screen for Embiid to come around the other side. You don't have to just stay on this one side. There's not a rule in the rule book that you got to stay on that one side. You can kind of just move, you know, and go to something else. They get stuck on that. And then I have some questions about some of the play calling down the stretch. You know, the Sixers are down five. They need a three with 20 seconds left. Doc calls a timeout, and Embiid pops out. And I don't know if the design was, yo, take the three, and Embiid just went rogue, or, hey, let's just get a quick shot. Embiid dribbles in and takes a two. At that point, you're playing right into the Suns' hands, you know, in that instance, because now you're hoping the Suns will miss two free throws and all of that. It just ends up becoming a problem. But everything down the stretch is an issue, but we got to talk about some of the other stuff there. Just the turnovers. 15 turnovers turned into 27 points for the Suns. Then on top of that, you give up 11 offensive rebounds, 17 second chance points for the Suns. You're not going to win games that way. And rebounding has become a massive problem for the Sixers. Like, Matisse Thybulle, he's too good to just have one rebound. I'm sorry. I know he's guarding perimeter guys and things like that, but he is way too good to only be averaging even 2.3 rebounds a game. He needs to be in the five range, being the wing guy and the defensive guy that he is. And I know a lot of time he's contesting shots and things like that, but it's not on every possession. He needs to come in there and help out on the boards, but it needs to be a gang rebound thing across the board. And it sucks because you did waste a good Tobias Harris game, 13-18 from the field. Embiid, as always, just awesome in pretty much you know, regular performance for him, another 30-point night. But it's just tough, man. And this, you can't have those mistakes against the Suns.
Let's move on to some trades, because we had a couple pretty tasty trades today. Let's start with the CJ McCollum trade. CJ McCollum goes to New Orleans along with Larry Nance Jr. and Tony Snell. And the Portland Trail Blazers get back Josh Hart, Thomas Satoransky, Nikhil Alexander Walker, Didi Luzada, a 2022 protected first round pick, and 2 second round picks. What was your first thought when you saw this trade?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of knew CJ was on the move. There's been a lot of talk of New Orleans being interested. I don't particularly like this for New Orleans, just because I think you're on a good roll right now. You have Josh Hart. You're right into the mix, into the play-in tournament. You're right there. And let's just be honest, with the way they started the season, that's a win in itself. You know, and the fact they got everything going, you got to give Willie Green credit. But I think Josh Hart was a central piece to that. And as good as CJ is, and CJ's a better player than Josh Hart, I just think Hart does more for this team than what CJ is going to be able to provide, because, you know, he's not a good defender. That's going to be a blow for them. It's going to be a problem when if he's not making shots and things like that. It becomes a bit more challenging for the Pelicans there. I thought it was good for the Blazers getting some picks there. We know what they're trying to build, almost rebuild very quickly on the fly around Dame and Simons. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to end up. They've created a ton of cap space with these moves. They got a big trade exception. We'll see what it looks like in the offseason, but it's setting up for a huge offseason for the Blazers. But you got to like the picks that they got back.
Yeah, and it's probably pretty low value for CJ, but at this point they had to do something. Like, they couldn't just stand pat. And so with CJ having lower value than he did probably a couple years ago, when maybe they should have made the deal, I think it's a good return for them. And then for New Orleans, I don't love it either for them. I don't love the ceiling that they've given themselves, because you add CJ McCollum, he's eating up a giant chunk of your cap now. Like, he's one of your core players. He hasn't had a good season. Maybe he plays a little bit better in New Orleans, but I don't love that for the Pelicans, although they did get the best player in the deal, and I know a lot of people like that, but long term, you know, you're still trying to build around some young guys, and I just don't know how well CJ fits with that over the course of the next few seasons.
And then he becomes an off-ball guy when Zion comes back, whenever that may be. God knows when that is. But, you know, that's you're losing some of that shot creation there that you're going to gain right now. I'm just not a big fan of it.
The next deal, this one was a doozy. I'm still trying to process it, to be honest. The Sacramento Kings, God bless the Sacramento Kings. The Kings deal Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson to the Pacers, and they get back Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, and a 2027 second round pick. Just, can the Kings get out of their own way?
I mean, so here's the thing. There's a couple of things there. First off, my first reaction when I saw this one, or the other one, was, oh, wow. This one was holy bleep, you know, because I wasn't expecting them to move Halliburton. I didn't think that was going to be the piece they were going to move. We knew they were into Domantas Sabonis. I think Sam Amick has done some great reporting on that for us The Athletic, you know, kind of saying it was either Simmons or they were going to go after Sabonis after that. And it is funny to me that you wouldn't be willing to move Halliburton for Simmons, but you would for Sabonis. It's a little bit funny to me. In that sense, I think you need to be more of a defensive team. I'm lower on Sabonis than most people, just because I think there's a lot of issues with him defensively. As good as he is on offense, I think, again, he opens up a lot of holes. And when you're one of the worst teams in the league defensively, you might want to make a trade for somebody to improve your defense. And that's not what they did. It's not that they traded Halliburton, because I think he's good. I think we've gone way too far as the internet, the NBA Twitter and everything, about overrating him in a sense, you know, and I think we've gone a little bit too nuts with that. I like him better than Fox, but still, it's like they got they're another team that got the best player in the deal. I don't understand why, if you're the Kings, you go, yes, we need to pair Sabonis with De'Aaron Fox because that's going to improve us. I don't feel like it's going to help you all that much, especially defensively.
Yeah, Sabonis is kind of a challenging player to build around, and you have to have the right personnel. You have to have shooting. You almost have to have like the Suns supporting cast around him for it to work, where you've got like shooters that can also defend on the wing. And like now the Kings don't really have shooters. They traded their best shooters as a part of this deal. And I don't quite understand the plan. I think that could just be the motto for the Kings over the last 16 years. I don't really understand the plan. Well, and it's a consistent theme for them.
And that's the big thing. I didn't even touch on it, and you nailed it, right? You finally get a good passing big, and he has nobody to pass to.
Nobody. It's bad. On the Pacers' end, I like this for them. I think that it gives them a good direction to go. You add shooting to this team. I think it makes their roster make a little bit more sense now that maybe you can have if Miles Turner comes back and he's healthy next year, you have a lot of shooting then, and you have a lot of options. You have a lot of ball handlers. You have guys that can hit threes. I like it. I would love to see what Rick Carlisle can do with like the fully formed version of this team. So I'm kind of excited to see what the Pacers will look like.
I like what the Pacers have done this trade deadline. They've built a lot of they've added draft capital. I'm shocked they got, you know, two draft picks for Caris LeVert. I know one of them's a second round pick, but it's still pretty solid. I mean, if you think about it this way, Norman Powell went for no draft picks, and I like him better than Caris LeVert, and it's kind of shocking in that sense. The one issue I have for the Pacers, and this might get addressed in the offseason, I feel like there's too much overlap between Brogdon and Tyrese Halliburton. And I know you can't have too many smart guys on the same team, but I feel like it's very similar to Halliburton having to share the ball with Fox. He's going to have to now share it with Brogdon and not being able to really unleash, you know, himself in that end. So they can't trade Brogdon at this point because he signed an extension. He won't be eligible to be traded until the offseason. And I'll be interested to see if, you know, this kind of says, hey, like we might be looking to move Brogdon in the offseason. They were in early on the Simmons thing and tried to use Brogdon before he signed the extension. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe if they try to revisit that in the offseason if Ben Simmons doesn't happen to move in the next few days.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. You stay a little bit younger. You add these draft picks for this next draft. You probably have a higher pick now in the draft yourself. Like I like the moves. I think that they're set up pretty well.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Last, we're going to touch on a bit of news. The Washington Wizards all-star guard Bradley Beal is going to undergo season-ending surgery on his left wrist. It's unfortunate that he has to have the surgery. The Wizards season has been pretty much shot for a few weeks anyhow. But what are your quick thoughts on this Beal surgery?
I mean, it sucks. Plain and simple, right? Like injuries in general suck with everything. The Wizards had really struggled. They weren't fully out of the play-in tournament, but I think they were just kind of, we've noticed a downward trend and spiral that has been happening in Washington. I think the other thing too is, to me, this means like he's definitely opting into his contract, not going to be a free agent because of that. It makes me wonder, because he was a guy I wouldn't have been shocked at all, Andrew, had he gotten traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have surprised me. So now I'm very curious to see what this is going to do in terms of, you know, his desire to stay in Washington. Does Washington want to pay him that supermax contract that he's going to be eligible for? Like, is that
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, they do.
Really?
I believe they do.
I don't know. I would say after your experience with John Wall and now you have Bradley Beal with the surgery thing, it's almost like you're having flashbacks of just like, You know, I would worry. And these contracts haven't really panned out for a lot of these teams that signed these guys to it.
I'm not saying that I think it's a good idea.
Right.
But I would be pretty floored if the Wizards didn't go ahead and do it.
I mean, so. I might be crazy, but we all know I am a little bit psychotic.
Thanks so much for listening to The Daily Ding. Hope you guys have a great day. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Hoops Adjacent is coming up next. Mo, send us out. Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.